and welcome to Let's Pod This. My name is Andy Moore. Friends, welcome to another episode. I will be honest, Emily and I had some audio difficulties this week. And so our episode that we recorded was very insightful and even funny and entertaining. Shall never make it to the airwaves because half the audio was just, well, it didn't work at all. In its place, I have this, a special episode that is was going to air next week anyway. This is my conversation with Erica Wright from the Rural Schools Coalition, where we talk about what's on the ballot in June and some just civic engagement stuff in general. I thought it was interesting and timely and relevant, and Emily and I will be back next week with a regular episode and give you a full rundown of what happened in the final days of the legislative session. I'll be looking ahead to the June 16th primary election, where every voter, as a reminder, every voter, regardless of party affiliation, has a chance to vote. All right, enjoy this conversation with myself and Erica Wright, and we'll see you back next week for a regular episode.
Hi, everybody. This is Erica Wright with the Oklahoma Rural Schools Coalition, and I am here today with my friend Andy Moore from Let's Fix This to sit down and have some conversations about a pretty big day we have coming up here in Oklahoma. What day would that be, Andy?
June 16th is Election Day.
June 16th is Election Day. So we're going to chat about that and the importance of showing up to vote. But before we do, Andy, why don't you, for the people out there in our group, our members who may not be aware of what you do at Let's Fix This, tell us a little bit about the awesome work that you guys do.
Sure. Thanks, Erica. Thanks for having me on. This is so great. I run an organization called Let's Fix This. We've been working in Oklahoma for about 10 years, just trying to increase civic engagement, voting, and all things democracy in Oklahoma. We know that Oklahomans really do care about our state and our communities, and people really want to be involved, but often aren't sure where to start. I know members of the Rural Schools Coalition, because I'm one of them, know where to get plugged in on this issue. But we want to make sure that everyone knows that there are some really consequential things coming up on the ballots in June and August and November this year. And so thanks for having me on to talk about that.
Well, I'm super excited to be having this chat with you because you're kind of the expert on all things. So let's go ahead and kick it off. So I think one of the big things that we see here in Oklahoma is that a lot of people think that our elections are decided in November. But in Oklahoma, many of those races are effectively decided in the primary, which is June 16th. So why is the June 16th primary one of the most important elections that most voters aren't paying attention to?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So many people say, I vote every time, every presidential election. I'm like, hang on, there are so many more opportunities to vote than once every 4 years. And this year, this is a midterm election. I say that with quotes, but you know, we know that fewer people vote in midterm elections as it is. And then when you talk about the primary election, it's fewer still. And the problem is that this is a very consequential election. So Oklahoma has closed primaries, which means that only Republicans vote in Republican primaries, only Democrats can vote in Democratic primaries. Libertarians can vote in Libertarian primaries, although I'm not sure there are any on
the
ballot.
There's not any on the ballot this year.
Yeah. And then independent voters can't vote on any candidates in June, but they can still vote on state questions or on the ballot. Now, to answer your question, the reason why these June primary elections are so important is that this is the election where each party will be choosing their nominees for a variety of electoral seats. And in some cases, like if there are only candidates from one party who are running, like only Republicans or only Democrats, then this is the only election that they might be on the ballot. And so if you don't vote, then you don't get a say in that election. And in some cases, you can't vote, and so you don't get a say in those elections.
Right.
But also in many other races, even if there are multiple parties involved, Oklahoma being the state that it is, often these primary elections are the most consequential race. Someone who wins the primary is in many cases likely going to be the one who wins the general election. And so this is the voter's first real chance to use their voice and to cast a vote on who might win that race.
Well, and I think it's important. I'm so glad that you brought up the fact that a lot of these elections in June are going to be the final election. I think the data shows that traditionally, at least in the last four cycles, about 70% of the elections that are out there are settled and finalized in June. And so when people don't show up, they're completely missing the game. I know, and it's frustrating, I think, sometimes for people who can't vote in a closed primary and there's only two people on the ballot from one party. But it is what it is. I know here in Cleveland County, last cycle, there were only two Republicans on the ballot for sheriff. So more than half of the county never even got to vote, and less than 10% of the voters decided who our sheriff was. And now we see that we're in a lot of trouble with that sheriff situation. So let's talk a little bit about what happens when only just a tiny fraction of voters show up in those races to vote.
Oklahoma has a turnout problem for sure. We have the lowest voter participation in the country, but we don't have to. Like, it doesn't have to be this way. I think we say those stats out loud thinking that it's a predetermined outcome, and it is definitely not. All we got to do is show up to vote. And the problem is that a lot of voters feel disempowered and they say, my vote doesn't even matter. I'm not going to show up. It's a hassle. It's an inconvenience. And it doesn't matter why I even participate. And that means if you stay home, that you are saying, let everybody else decide. Well, then, you know, and a few weeks afterwards, you see who wins and you're maybe frustrated by it because that's not who you wanted to vote for. You're not who you wanted to win. But if you didn't show up, then you don't get a say in that. And I can't imagine any scenario where there's, you know, 100 people gathered and we say, we're going to let only 10 people decide what we have for lunch today. And everybody else just gets stuck with it. Because those 10 people, you don't know what their dietary preferences are. They might have some kind of, you know, crazy idea for what they want to have that is not at all what you want to eat. And when it comes to things that are far more consequential than lunch, things like elections, when we let just that small segment of voters show up, they are often the ones who are the most extreme on their party. Like, they're the diehards who spend a lot of time watching their cable news network or being, you know, all in. Then they almost by definition have a different perspective on what a qualified candidate should look like. And when you know, we all see these political ads on TV and on streaming services right now, and sometimes the ads seem outlandish and they're talking about things that none of us would identify as being actual problems facing our state. Well, they're doing that because they're speaking to that small, vocal and active group,
right?
Because they know that's who's going to show up to vote. And the biggest antidote to that extreme polarization is simply showing up to vote, everybody, right? Because there are, when you plot voters on like a bell curve of ideology from, you know, extreme left to extreme right, most people are more or less in the middle, you know, one standard deviation from that midpoint. But that's the group that doesn't show up to vote. And so I tell people all the time, like, if you don't show up, I understand that you feel like your vote doesn't matter, but not showing up is the one way that demonstrates your vote definitely doesn't matter. Like, you have to show up. Yeah, right. You can't just give up and say, well, hope things get better without trying to do the one thing that is allowed for us to do. Yeah.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I hear a lot and have been seeing a lot of chatter in our group, because we've been doing our Make It Count campaign and focusing on increasing participation at the polls in June. And I see a lot of people that are like, we just quit voting because our voice doesn't matter, because Oklahoma is always going to be a red state in a national election for the president. But this is so much more than that. And I think that, you know, it's first of all, presidential election isn't even this year. We're talking about governor all the way down to district attorney, and all of our state question, all the things in between. So I think that there's some confusion with a lot of people too, because maybe they are, we know there should be Republicans on the ballot, right? I mean, that's a given. But in some places, in some races, there may not be a Dem or an independent or a, you know, there's not any independents or libertarians this time on the ballot. And so, but I think it's important. Let's talk about, like, so this ballot on June the 16th literally has something for everyone. This ballot includes both Republican and Democrat primaries. in a lot of our state level races, right? Like governor, state superintendent. So the Democrats definitely have some things to vote for in the primary races at the state level, even if they may not at the state house and Senate level. We also have state question 832. So there's really something on the ballot for every single person to vote on, regardless of party affiliation. And so talk about why it's important for them to get off the couch, get off their butts and show up, even if they're frustrated with politics right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think what we just said is exactly right. Like there is something for everybody on the ballot, regardless of your party affiliation or non-affiliation. You do have something to vote for in June. And as you mentioned, you know, Republicans will have their candidate races. Democrats will have their candidate races. And then I know a lot of independents, I'm a registered independent, feel really frustrated this year because it's the first year in about a decade where we haven't been able to vote on any candidates. In the past, the Democratic Party has allowed independents to vote. But this June, there is still a very consequential issue on the ballot. As you mentioned, it's state question 832, which deals with the state's minimum wage. Currently, the minimum wage in Oklahoma is $7.25 an hour, and that's the federal minimum wage. It hasn't been updated since the 90s, I think, or the early 2000s, so more than 20 years. And, you know, I saw the other day that essentially the minimum wage today is two hash browns from McDonald's, right? The hash browns have gone up in price. They're almost $3.50 each. And wow. So imagine working a whole hour at whatever your job is, and then all you can buy is like two little potato cakes. That is no way to live.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but that's a great illustration.
Well, and you know, the proponents behind 832 are saying like, come on guys, like the federal government and Congress has clearly abdicated their role in passing laws. This has been the most ineffective Congress we've had in US history. They just aren't interested in governing. They're interested in playing politics with one another. So it leaves us here on the ground trying to govern ourselves, which is, I mean, how the system was designed. And we can say, listen, the federal government has given up on this. And it's up to us in Oklahoma to say, what do we think is the absolute minimum someone should earn? Now, I know a lot of employers already pay more than the minimum wage, and that's great. But they don't all. And like there is some need to bring up that floor to say, hey, listen, like, can we all agree that this is where the minimum should be? Just it's not, it, you know, no one's going to get rich off of this, but it sets the bottom threshold. And there's a lot of people in our state who make, you know, between that current minimum wage of 7.25, and it's going to move it up to $15 over the next 3 years. It's a graduated kind of step by step. There's a lot of people who make, you know, $9, $10, $11, $12 an hour, sometimes working in school districts, too, who would see an improvement in their quality of life with this.
Now, so there's a big deal there. We have some states around us, that red states around us, that have recently moved it as well, too. Missouri, Arkansas? Mm-hmm.
Missouri and Arkansas, yes, have moved it up. And so Oklahoma now is one of the few states that hasn't adjusted their minimum wage, again, in decades. And so I think the proponents are saying, listen, it's time. The data should be clear. You know, the opponents are saying we don't need to because some people already pay enough and this is a free market system. But I think, you know, there's you really kind of comes down to how do you see the world and how do you feel that we should govern ourselves? I do like that there's a lot of this that is the people, a very populist idea that like we are designed, our system is designed for us to govern ourselves. And this kind of direct democracy with ballot initiatives is a great way to do that.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day on that question is, it doesn't really matter how you feel about the issue. Speak out about it. Put your checkbox, yes or no, on the ballot. I mean, whatever it is you feel about that issue, it's important that you show up and make your voice heard. And that is the one thing on the ballot, again, that every single Oklahoman, regardless of party affiliation, can vote for. So if you're out there thinking you don't have anything to vote for in June, that's a bunch of bull butter. You got something very important to vote on either way you're looking at it. So
right. I mean, we can sit at home and complain about
you know, both political parties being corrupt or, you know, parties doing whatever parties do. But this is a chance. Like Oklahoma is one of 26 states that has direct democracy available, like ballot initiatives like this. You know, State Question 832 was created by citizens. They're the ones who, you know, led the charge, who collected the signatures, who have been raising money and fighting tooth and nail to get it on the ballot. The governor pushed it. They collected signatures. I think we turned them in 2024 before the last presidential election. And they kind of slow played it. And Governor Stitt put it on the ballot, you know, almost 2 years later. And so a lot of people forgot that this was even happening. And it's going to show up on the ballots in June. And it is a big deal, regardless of partisanship. You know, you don't have to like the parties at all, but you've got to show up to at least vote for this one state question.
For sure. So let's switch gears a little bit. We talked a little bit in the beginning about how Oklahoma's the lowest in the nation for turnout for our elections, and particularly for our primary elections, which we talked about end up being some of the most consequential. And so let's talk a little bit of fun about the numbers. What do the numbers actually tell us about how few people are deciding major races in the primaries? I know I mentioned earlier that traditionally 7 out of 10 are done. We don't know that that's going to be the way that it breaks out this year, but let's just talk a little bit of history so people have an idea that, like, you're not showing up is putting it in the hands of, like, such a minute group of people.
Yeah. So I always say this is as simple as 4-3-2-1. So Oklahoma has about 4 million people. Of those, about 3 million are eligible to vote. But of those, only about 2 million are actually registered. And then of those, only about 1 million show up to vote reliably, like consistently. Looking back at the last time we had an election that was similar to this, it was 2018, right? That's the last time that it was an open seat for the governor and most other of those eight statewide elected offices, plus all the House and Senate and local races we mentioned. And so 2018 is the most recent comparable election. And turnout back then in the primary was less than 1 million voters. It was only about 930,000 people. And so already you've got a smaller pool, and that's for the statewide races, like the governor's race, Republican and Democratic primaries combined. And then you get down to those local elections, like your sheriffs, your district attorneys, those kinds of races, county commissioners. You know, obviously in each district, it's smaller and smaller and smaller. But on a proportion basis, it ends up being about the same. Statewide, we average around 50 to 53% turnout. As I mentioned, only about 2 million out of 3 million eligible or even registered, but only about 1 or maybe 1.3 million will end up voting in the general election. So it's like a tiny fraction, which means that in any given election, especially primary elections, there are more voters who don't vote than those who do. Mm-hmm. And if you are someone watching this and you feel frustrated about politics in Oklahoma from any perspective, I think there's something everyone can be frustrated with. The biggest thing we can do is show up, right? When you have a small fraction of people turning out, then you end up getting just what that small fraction of people want. And that is often not representative of what most voters want. When you look at specific counties, you know, even the metro areas, they are big enough to kind of follow those statewide trends. But you get some local areas like Comanche County, down where Lawton is. Comanche County has had the lowest voter turnout or participation for several years, maybe a decade or so I can think back that I've been looking at. Their turnout in 2024 was only 39%. Can you imagine 39% of registered voters? That doesn't even count everyone who is eligible and not registered. So 39% of registered voters, that's like 4 out of 10 showing up. That's really, really low. That's one of the lowest rates statewide. Well,
and I think too, like, again, you get back to, I see a lot of people say, well, my vote doesn't count because they're just thinking about the big races, right? President, governor, whatever. It's just one vote out of, you know, however many 100,000 for governor or whatever. But really, I mean, like last cycle, 2 years ago in 24, Carter County Sheriff was tied.
Yeah.
With tide. So tell people what happens when it gets in Oklahoma. What happens when we tie?
There's a literal coin toss. which seems ridiculous and perhaps maybe fair, but it came down where it was tied. So they did a recount. They do an automatic recount, yeah. If it's like 1%. And then when it was truly tied, vote for vote, it's just everyone, you know, come down to the election office and we're going to flip a coin to see who wins.
That's insane.
That is insane. And it means if one more person showed up, mm-hmm. right, for one guy or the other, if just one person showed up who didn't, they could have decided the election. And it's not, that seems ridiculous, but it is not as uncommon as you think.
No, there's several state, my own state representative, District 20, that race was lost by 3 votes. Mm-hmm. And I think there was another one up northeast. I don't want to say which county because I can't. It was someone in Wagner area, someplace up there that there was like by 1 vote. Mm-hmm. And it's just mind-blowing when you think that, hey, I'm not going to go vote because I just don't feel like going today. Or, hey, I'm going to be on vacation. So I'm going to be on vacation on election day. So I literally filled out my absentee ballot last night and I'm getting ready to mail it in. So this is a great segue into talking about how do people get an absentee ballot. If they know, hey, I'm going to be in Yellowstone with my kids, or I'm having surgery that week, I'm not going to feel like it, or whatever. How do people vote with an absentee ballot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Oklahoma is a no excuse absentee voting, which means you don't have to have a disability or some kind of reason to vote. Anybody who wants to vote absentee can. So I tell people you've got 3 ways to vote. You can vote by mail. You can vote early in person at the election board, or you can vote on election day, which, you know, most people do. But if you want to vote early, it's really easy. You just go to the state election board website. You can go to elections.ok.gov, mm-hmm. and log in to the Oklahoma voter portal. You just need your name and date of birth to sign in, and you can request your absentee ballot that way. And they'll mail it to you. As you said, the ballots are already available. They will mail it out. You'll get it in just a few days. And then you can fill it out at your leisure, right? You're not feeling stressed out in the voting booth in there with people breathing down your neck, or you feel like it's test day and you're trying to take the SATs, or you can vote in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
You can, you know, talk about the candidates out loud, whatever you want to do. You can fill it out. And then there's pretty explicit, like, detailed instructions for how to send it in. The things I flag for people are, if you're voting by mail, once you vote, you put it in an envelope, and you put that envelope in another envelope that they provide you, and it has to be notarized, mm-hmm. Which is a little bit of a pain, but not that big of a deal. You know, your tag agency, your bank, there's lots of places that have notaries to. And then it takes 2 stamps to mail it back in. You can also drive it over to your county election board and just hand it to them if you want.
That's what I'm doing on Friday, and my mom's going with me when we're going to be out of town, so I'm going to drive her over there too. We're going to go turn them in on Friday.
Yeah.
I literally filled mine out while I was waiting in the stall at Sonic.
There you go.
I went through and filled it out and did it while I was waiting for my super healthy Sonic bag.
Yeah, I know people who, you know, request absentee ballots or even just print off their sample ballot off of the voter poll, and then they will get together with friends to like share information and discuss like, hey, what do you know about these candidates? How do you feel this issue? Yeah. And have an actual like civic dialogue, which I think is really kind of novel. And it, like, I know we all treat politics like it's this private secret thing, but if it's with people that you like know, and I mean, not advocating people post on Facebook, you know, about it, that might open you up to bigger conversations you're not willing to have. But the idea that we are doing this because we are governing ourselves, like this is the way that we as Americans have chosen to structure our government for 250 years. It's worked pretty well for most of that time. But the more that we engage with it, and when you make it fun, it is so much easier for other people to engage with. And so, you know, I don't know, have a potluck, invite all your friends over. If they don't already have their ballot,
have some beers, have everybody. Right. I mean, that's barbecue and ballots. That's pretty dang American. Ooh, right there. Barbecue, beer, and ballots. Ooh,
I'm going to write that down, Erica, so we can organize some of those.
Let's have one. I want to have one, except I'm getting ready to leave. But maybe next time in August, we'll have some barbecue beer about it. So this is, everything's flowing so well. So for people who don't know, so Andy talked about the Oklahoma Voter Portal earlier, where you can log in to order your absentee ballot, but also you can scroll down a little bit further and the sample ballots are already up. So you can go log in again with your name and your birthday, scroll down, find your sample ballot that's already up. So you can see exactly who's going to be on your ballot. You can even print it off in a PDF or take a screenshot of it or whatever, so you know who's on your ballot. And then, shameless plug, you can come on over to the Oklahoma Rural Schools Coalition. So we have created, it used to be for years, the League of Women Voters had a voter guide that was printed. You could get it at the library, but I haven't seen it in a while. And so we have been doing this for a while. In the past, we have been doing it more for, you know, endorsements around who supports public ed or whatever. We're not doing that this year. This year, we decided that we just wanted to create a nonpartisan, fully complete voter guide for people to have an online resource. I even used it myself, again, when I was sitting in Sonic last night, to look at every single candidate on your ballot. So in that resource, and you can also download a PDF if you want to do that as well. But each candidate, so if it was Andy Moore running for, you know, King of the Hill, it would have Andy Moore's website, and you can tap it and it'll take you to his website, and it'll have his Facebook and any of the social media. You can tap it and go check out, see what they're talking about, which sometimes social media is more telling than the websites. The websites all kind of look the same and say the same. So go to the social media, check out what they're saying. And also on the very bottom, you can also click to everybody to their campaign finance report. So you can see how much money have they raised, who gave them the money, where's the money coming from? Is it coming from people that live in their community, or is it coming from, you know, people out of state or PACs or, you know, whatever. So you literally have all of the public information that is available, clickable at your fingertips with our guide, and we'll include the link with all of the stuff when we push this out. But again, I used it last night. And so it's going to cover everything from your federal races that are on the ballot. So U.S. Senate and all of our U.S. congressmen or congresspeople, all the way down through your state level government, you know, governor, state superintendent, all of that. And then all the way down to your state reps. And even I plan on doing district attorneys as well, but I haven't gotten to that yet. We'll see if I can get it done before I get out of town. But so I think, why is a tool like that? Is this something you hear from people in the past? I'm hoping this is going to be helpful for people. Is this something that you hear in your democracy work that people are really needing? Maybe they're confused. They don't know where to look.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful that you guys have put all this time and effort into this. It is tough. You mentioned the League of Women Voters. They still do a voter guide. Yeah. They focus on November because it's a lot of work to do these. And, you know, they're an all volunteer organization. I mean, you are as well. Yeah. But they it's tough to track down websites, emails, social media profiles, all this stuff for candidates. You send out questionnaires and sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. Yeah.
We didn't even do questionnaires this year because nobody really responds.
Well, so. And, you know, this is the other reason that we hear that people don't show up to vote is because they're like, I don't know who these people are and I don't want to do the research. It's like, listen, you can just, we all do a little bit of snooping on social media occasionally. This is for a good cause, right? You're not looking at your best friend's ex-husband's, you know, new girlfriend or whatever. Like you are looking at like people that are running for public
creep
office.
Creep on them.
Right.
And honestly, it doesn't. I mean, when I was looking personally at a race yesterday that I was kind of unsure on some of the candidates, I mean, I looked through the websites and kind of scanned through their social media, and it was pretty apparent to me within 10 minutes where I was going to go based off of what I saw. And so hopefully we're really hoping, and the goal is for that to empower voters with a one-stop shop tool where they can, we're not telling anybody who to vote for. We're just giving them the stuff all in one place. So it makes it easy for them to see all the things they need to see or want to see before they decide. So what kind of things should people be looking at before they head to the polls?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people are going to be wanting to look for, does this candidate, is this candidate someone that I support? Are there someone that I can relate to? Are they going to represent me well? Are they going to represent the interests of our district well? Or are they catering just to, you know, the wealthy and well-connected or to their donors? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, regardless of party affiliation, you know, we've talked about the state question being on there. And it is tough. You can kind of tell who's serious and who's not about their campaigns from looking at their social media pages, their websites. I'm always shocked. I think it's courageous for anyone to throw their hat in the ring, but not everybody puts the same amount of effort behind it. And I'm someone who believes that like elected office requires some commitment. It's a big deal. It's a lot of work. It is a self-sacrifice. And so I'm looking for candidates who are serious about the work. They're not the people that are just going to govern by press release or try to get, you know, in the local news or in the national news for saying outrageous things. We want people who are out there really trying to care about, you know, public education, care about the issues that are actually facing our state.
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely an interesting group after having vetted through every single candidate running through the state. I don't have the numbers in my head off the top of my head, but it was a lot. And it is shocking how many of the candidates don't put effort into having information out there about them. So, you know, they're not out knocking doors. You know, they're not probably doing a lot to engage with their communities. And so that throws a lot of them, you know, out the window. So enough about that, but we just so that people know, so we have that voter guide, which we'll link with all of the things. And then it's okruralschools.org/elections. You can get it at that link. And then we will also do an updated one for August because we'll have some runoffs and we will have some very important state questions in August. And then we will do a final one also for November. So this is something that we will do in a series and not just for the primary elections, but it'll be out there for the whole time. So I guess let's wrap it up with this one. So let's think about the someone out there that's listening right now who feels exhausted, which is a lot of us, disconnected. Maybe they don't think they can vote because they're an independent or a libertarian or just skeptical that it even matters or not if they show up. What would you want them to understand about this June 16th election and why their voice still matters?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Erica. I will reiterate that there is something for everybody on the ballot in June, regardless of party affiliation. If you just show up, there's at least one state question on there that matters to everybody. Secondly, in the primary election, because a lot of voters don't show up, your voice actually counts for more, right? I look back at 2018 and you know, the guy who was Speaker of the House back then, Charles McCall, he's running for governor now, but he there was only 2,500 votes cast in that election to represent, you know, 40,000, 45,000 people in one district, and only 2,500 people voted in the primary to basically pick the winner. It means you have an outsized voice. And so if you think your voice doesn't matter in June, I'm here to tell you it matters way more than you think it does.
For sure.
And then, you know, I think it just sets a good example. Like, I talk to my kids. I take them with me to the polls if I can. Summertime is a little bit easier because they're out of school. And if they're not at camp, then I'll drag them along and say, like, hey, listen, I want you to know that this is important because this is me doing my civic duty of getting to choose who represents us, and then talk through my thought process, right, on it. They might ask some questions. My kids are 12 and 14. The older kids are 12 and 14. And they ask pretty good questions. Yeah. Sometimes make me think a lot about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so if you feel like, I get it. I get you being exhausted. I get you're over politics in America right now, that the news feels overwhelming. This, if you want something to do, this is the thing you can do the most, is vote. And if you don't vote, you know, no one really cares how you're going to complain about it later if you didn't at least do this one thing.
Yeah. I love that you take your kids. I do too. I always take my kids to breakfast at Tiffany's here in Noble, one of our local hot spots for breakfast. And then we take the sample ballot and we go through it and talk about everybody that, you know, and now I have one that's not going to be old enough to vote in June, but he will be old enough to vote in August. And so I'm really, really excited about doing that with him for real now, if he'll still go with mom, because he's going to be a big 18-year-old, but
What's funny is, like, my kids now, I mean, they watch, you know, TV shows, and so they get those streaming ads and, like, YouTube ads for candidates, and they see yard signs, and so they know way more than I think. And I will often ask them for, like, hey, you've been saying, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And sometimes out of the mouths of babes get some really insightful perspectives on how they feel about these candidates. And remember that the people you're voting for represent your kids too. It's not just you. It's not just your party affiliation or the cause. It's like they're representing your 15-year-old or your 6-year-old or whatever. And you want people who are representing you as a grown-up? Sure, sure. But also, someone is shaping policy for the next generation or two. This is a big deal. And so keeping them in mind, for me at least, is really grounding and I think gives a good perspective on the future.
I would agree. And I think it also helps us train our younger people as they grow up into the importance of voting and how the whole system works and, you know, when you vote and how it works. I think that that's important to include our kids in the process so that maybe, you know, one of these years down the road, that they will help get us out of the bottom in voting participation. So, well, Andy, I always love, truly and genuinely love my time with you. And I'm so grateful to be able to sit with you today and talk about this. And so I just think to all of you out there who are watching this or watching clips of it, whether you're Republican or Democrat, independent, libertarian, or you're just tired, like most of us are, of all of the nonsense, here's the deal. Someone is going to decide the future of our state on June 16th. And the question is whether is that someone going to be made up of a bunch of ordinary folks, or are we going to let the folks that are on the extreme polar ends that don't really represent the majority be the ones who make that decision? And so we're hoping that our efforts with Make It Count will drive some more participation. And we are really hoping that this conversation today will help explain the urgency of that to people. And so if you're watching this and you learned something from it, please share this and go out and grab 10 neighbors, take 10 people in your phone list, text them, make sure that they've got their sample ballot and just do 10 to win. That's what we're doing, is 10 to win. Just find 10 friends to make sure that you remind them to show up to vote on June the 16th. And maybe we can turn this stuff around. So Andy, thank you again. Anything, any parting words that you would like to say?
93% of races are decided in the primary nationwide. It's a very big deal. So please show up and vote June 16th. Vote by mail, vote early, or vote election day. However you do it, please show up and vote.
Vote. Okay, thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Erica.